This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more. Welcome to 20th Century Boy, aka TCB, aka the boy from the 20th century. I'm rambling. My name is Rolling in My Dollars, and this is the inside of my mind. I'm not rolling in my dollars, by the way. I wish I was rolling in my dollars, but I'm not really. One, because it's not possible to roll in dollars. Two, because I don't have that many dollars to roll in. But that's okay. Welcome to my podcast, 20th Century Boy. My name is, of course, Radio Mike. Not rolling in my dollars, but each week I do a new RM-themed name. You're welcome to suggest one. That one today was a Mike original. If you're watching, there's video versions of these podcasts. If you're watching the video version, I keep leaning to the side because I'm trying to look at something on my laptop, but that's a story for another time. How are you? I'm well. Thanks for asking in return, which I assume you do each week. I'm really well. Things are, it's very cold. It is very cold here in Melbourne. I don't like that. And then I have this little electric heater in my room, and when I turn that on, in the morning I go and turn it on to full blast. And it's so relaxing and the room warms up, but then it gets too hot because I have a small room and all the hot air is just circling around, and it becomes very uncomfortable, but I don't want to get out of bed because it's too cold otherwise. So yeah, that's me, guys. Obviously, my name's Radio Mike. As I already said, this podcast is about me and my life as a young writer and producer and something else from Melbourne, Australia, trying to make his way through the rough and tumble of living life, which is not always easy. Sometimes it is easier than other times. At the moment, it's feeling pretty good. I'm pretty busy. I'm a little bit stressed, but I am okay. Do your 360 on the spot. You can win this podcast. We are the only winnable podcast in the world. You win by doing a 360 on the spot wherever you are right now. If you happen to see me in the flesh, which could happen, I am out and about a fair bit at the moment. If you see me in the flesh, you've won the podcast. Congratulations. Come up to me. You get a prize, but the podcast ends forever. You've got a bit of a choice to make, but you do have to win. It is an honesty system. If you win, you must claim the prize. No one has won yet. I think I mentioned last week had a little cafe celeb spot. Whatever. Not a big deal. People tend to recognize my voice a lot because it's all over the place in the airwaves. New thing that I've decided we're going to do at the start of every show. New thing. Trivia question of the week. A single trivia question at the top of each show. I love trivia. My favourite TV show is The Chase Australia, which is the quiz show that plays, that Andrew O'Keefe hosts on Channel 7. And it's just a bunch of trivia questions. Love it. I want to go on it sometime. Trivia question of the week. Obviously, you can Google it if you want, but it's just an honesty system, right? It's an honesty system. You have to get it without Googling it within 10 seconds of me asking the question. Keep your own score. If you ever get to 15 points, I'll give you a prize, okay? Here's the trivia question of the week. You cannot Google it. What color headband does the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Donatello wear? I repeat, what is the color? Each Ninja Turtle, there are four Ninja Turtles. And I actually think this would be a great, I reckon this would be a good, $50,000 question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Because I realize not many people know this. A lot of people know the names of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Michelangelo, Leonardo, Raphael, Donatello. A lot of them don't know what color each one is assigned to. So your question is, and if you've got it by now, you have to have gotten it by now. Time's up. What color does Donatello wear? What is his color? Maybe I just reveal it now. The color, Donatello is purple. Donatello's color is purple. If you got it, let me know. Orange is Michelangelo, and then Leo is the dark blue, and Raph is red, the color of Raph. Trivia question of the week, guys. How fun was that? Just to kick off the podcast with a bit of fun. I've been house hunting with some friends. I'm going to be moving into another share house soon. We found two places in Carlton, two terrace houses in Carlton. that we really like and have applied for. So hopefully we get them. Really nice, spacious living areas and big rooms, and a spare room that can be like an office and a podcast kind of room for me, which is really good. So hopefully within the next month or two, I will be moved into a new place. But good location that's near work, near my parents' place, and quite central Carlton North. So, you know, hopefully we are good on that front. But house hunting really takes it out of you, like applying and filling out all the forms and going to inspections. Spent the whole of Saturday at inspections. Some of these places are so bad. This one place had like a bubble under the floorboards. So you'd walk over the floorboards and like there'd be like a bubble of air. Like you'd put the floorboards weren't touching the floor. Like you'd push down the floorboards and you could feel it. And the agent who was there was like, ah, yes, I will tell the landlord about that, but it will all be fixed. We're not going to apply for that place. It was in a terrible like industrial area as well. So it was really gross. I personally hated it. Lots of nice little places though. So hopefully we get approved for one, can just kind of, get on with my life. Cause it has been pretty difficult, just, you know, going about life at my parents' place. Not difficult in any sense really, more just like space wise. But yeah, as far as like my life goes, I'm mainly just, as I said last week, watching a lot of horror movies. Which I will talk about in a sec, because I talked about last week how horror is my favorite movie genre, and also been playing on PS5 the new Ratchet and Clank game, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. If you don't know this game series, if you're not into video games, it's like a game. It's like a game. How do you even explain it? It's a 3D platformer third person shooter where you play as Ratchet and Clank, a robot and a Lombax, which is a cat-like alien. You get different guns, various different fun little guns and weapons throughout the series. So this is like the 10th game in the series, the first one on PS5. And like, but historically there's been heaps of great guns in the series. There's been a gun in one game where you turn enemies into sheep by, there's one where you can suck in enemies it's like a vacuum gun. There's like in this one that I'm playing now, and if you've played it, let me know. There's this gun called the Negatron Collider, which just shoots like a beam of light at enemies, and it just goes for like 5 seconds, and it's awesome. I love this game so much. I am like the flow state I'm in playing this game. Like I'm just in this flow state of just like I don't want to put it down. I was playing it last night. Controller ran out of batteries because I was playing for so long, and then I didn't want to charge it, so I just went to sleep. But at the moment, game of the year for 2021, I'm about halfway through. I'm going to play it straight after this. Loving it. Obsessed with this game. So fluid. So great. And it's by a developer called Insomniac who made the Spider-Man games. And they're a great game developer, just generally speaking. So I'm really excited to keep playing that. And I'll probably do a YouTube thing on it at some point as well. Last week, as you know, if you listen to the podcast every week, if you don't, no worries. Oh, sorry, yesterday, on Saturday, when I was looking at places, I did come across a gumball machine. And it was one of the big circular gumball machines, 20 cents a pop for a gumball. And as you know, we are working towards Gumball-orama. At some point in the next few weeks, I will go to a gumball machine and try to empty it. We have raised about $55 at the moment of what I think we would need about $100. $100 gets us 500 gumballs, and I don't imagine there'd be much more than 500 in there. So if you can, paypal.me/itsradiomike, just send a dollar. That's 5 gumballs you're donating. Donate a gumball to Gumballorama. But I was staring this beast down on Saturday because I'm like, it might be you. You might be the gumball machine that I decide to empty. And this one in particular, I was trying to suss out how many gumballs I thought might be in there, but it did seem like, I don't know, because at the time I was like, nah, there's more than 500 in there. But then I was like, nah, now retrospectively, I'm like, nah, there probably was like 200 maybe. I don't think there was much more than five. I don't think it could fit 500. I'm trying to think, maybe, yeah. Anyway, we're going to be doing that soon. It could be that one. So please donate a dollar to Gumballorama here. Last week, as I said, I revealed that horror movies are my favorite genre of movie. I love horror movies. I watched Midsommar, which is like a folk horror, psychological horror kind of film where creepy stuff goes on in this cult. Great movie. Possibly the best movie I've seen this year. Obviously, it didn't come out this year. I also watched Luca, the new Pixar movie, this week. That is an amazing movie. Go and watch that movie. The best Pixar movie in a very long time. Soul, I did a video on YouTube. Soul, overrated as anything. Soul was an overrated film. It was in your face. The whole point of Soul, like, live your life. Like, it was just way too in your face. No nuance to the writing in Soul. I think it just spoke to pleb people who just want it. It's like Inside Out. No offense to people who like the Pixar movie Inside Out. Inside Out, overrated AF, right? Like, Inside Out is literally a movie about emotions. It's like, it's all spelled out for you. The characters are literally called joy and sad, I think, or sadness, right? Inside Out, no nuance. Soul, no nuance. So overrated. I'm sorry. Shoot me. Soul is overrated. Luca, amazing. A story of friendship, a story of loving yourself, loving who you are, breaking free of family expectation and traditions, and just doing what you want to do. Great story, lots of nuance, great writing, great atmosphere. It's set in Italy. It's a great movie. I will do a full review of it on YouTube, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about Luca because it's way better than Soul. It's on Disney Plus for free, so go and stream it after this. It's an amazing movie. Tell me what you think. But horror movies. I asked people for recommendations of horror movies, and I've got a few here. Because I am obsessed. I'm going to be binging lots of horror movies. I watched The Conjuring last night for I think it was the first time, but I recognized so many of the things that happened. So maybe I have watched it and just forgot. The Conjuring was okay. Still at this point, Midsommar, I think, is my favorite horror. But got a few people writing in. Radio Ganonbort, welcome to the RF, mate. For horror movies, I recommend Antichrist. That does sound scary. Audition, which is a Japanese one, which I do know of. And Martyrs, which I haven't heard of Martyrs. Not sure what I would actually consider the best, but these are the most memorable movies to me. There are other movies I've seen that I would consider disturbing, but they're not horror, which is interesting. I wish you gave examples of those. But anyway, in relation to Saw, the first Saw movie, which I spoke about last week and said that I thought it was a really good movie, which I still think it is, I ended up watching it in the last 3 years. I hadn't had the twist spoiled. There is a twist at the end. A lot of the Saw movies do have great endings. Like, everything kind of comes together or there's a big twist. The first Saw movie, great twist. And Saw by James Wan actually originated... He's an Australian... I think a Malaysian-Australian filmmaker. Saw originated, I'm pretty sure, from RMIT University here in Melbourne. It was a short film that became the full feature-length Saw. James Wan, who ended up, I think, directing The Conjuring as well. And he also did Aquaman. Like, he's become quite a successful filmmaker. Saw 1. I had the twist spoiled, but very early on I called it just knowing there would be a twist. So Ganonbort is saying that he called the twist. It still seems like the best Saw movie, but having called it so early, I really lost the magic of that one important moment. Which sucks because it is a great twist. If you haven't seen the movie before, I highly recommend you watch it. It's not too gory or anything. And Saw, I think, yes, all of these franchise horror movies definitely get worse as they go along. There was one, I think it was called Jigsaw, which is the most recent in the Saw franchise before Spiral, which just came out this year and was meant to be really bad. Jigsaw, I actually thought was very good and had a really, really good twist at the end. But other than that, I think I've only seen Saw, Saw 2, and Saw 4, and Jigsaw. I don't think I've seen... I would like to watch all of them at some point, but the storyline of Saw is really good. Like, having the overarching story of that goes sort of through all the films is really interesting. So I would like to watch them all. Radio Alex Sky, welcome to the radio family. I don't know if you've seen The Woman in Black with Daniel Radcliffe. It's been a couple of years since I've seen it, but it's one of the creepier horror movies out there. And no, I have not seen The Woman in Black. Hadn't even heard of it. Daniel Radcliffe's in it. So, I mean, it'd be interesting. I do. A lot of people really criticize Daniel Radcliffe as an actor. I actually don't think Daniel Radcliffe is a very bad actor, but I think his interest in the Harry Potter franchise was waning with each iteration of those films. So each one, I feel like he gives a less inspired performance and almost like a more frustrated performance in them. So I actually don't mind Daniel Radcliffe. I've seen, he did a movie called Guns Akimbo, which I think I talked about on this podcast last year, which was actually pretty good. So I'd be keen to watch some more Daniel Radcliffe movies, especially if they're horror. Radio Lazza, welcome to the radio family. Listening to the podcast at the moment. I don't like horror at all. I am a big baby. I'm sorry to hear that. But I gotta say, I thought Midsommar was very mediocre. The scene you talked about was probably the coolest scene in the movie. And the scene I talked about was when people jump off the cliff and you see their faces caved in by a rock and it's crazy. The rest just felt sort of boring. There were interesting shots, but the actual content wasn't interesting. And it is a long movie and it lingers a lot. There's lots of long shots and stuff that's like, you know, and sometimes the characters talk in Swedish and they're not subtitled, like deliberately. So yeah, interesting. The only horror movies I've really enjoyed are It Follows, The Book, and Scream. So It Follows I have on my list of movies to watch. I have not watched it, but I know what it's about. And The Babadook is an Australian horror movie from memory. I have seen it, and it's like an analogy for depression. The Babadook is this big monster, but I think it's an analogy or a metaphor for depression and suicide. I did really enjoy The Babadook as well. And Scream I watched ages ago, so I don't really remember it. But from memory, it was trying to send up. It was a horror, but it was sort of like trying to send up typical conventions of horror films. But they also made a bunch of Scream movies and a TV series based on Scream on Netflix as well. This is still Lazza. It Chapter 1 and 2 are horror movies, but I feel like they're not scary like horror movies usually are. I thought the first It was actually pretty scary. But you're right, it does feel a bit different because it's based on a book, there's kids in it. Like it felt a lot more like maybe Stand By Me in that sense. That, and Stand By Me is a great coming-of-age film, but yeah, It particularly felt like that kind of vibe. But I thought Finn Wolfhard, who is in it, did an amazing performance in that. He's obviously from Stranger Things. And Pennywise the Clown is obviously, I think, a very terrifying villain and was in that movie. But I also think that book was very hard to adapt. It Chapter 2, I hated. I thought was incredibly boring and just, yeah, really shit. Radio Schaefer said, Your Next is a good horror movie with comedic elements. Have not heard of it. May check it out. Mayhem is also good if you really liked Ready or Not with Samara Weaving. Mayhem is something I have not heard of either, but I have seen Ready or Not with Samara Weaving. That was a great suspenseful horror film about a woman who marries into a family that is like in a satanic cult and plays this death game of hide and seek with her where they have to kill her and she has to escape. And it is so crazy. I think I like cults and like satanic cults. I also watched a movie called The Witch, another horror movie called The Witch, which was like a folk horror movie. And I really enjoyed that as well. Okay. I also asked you guys, what are things that creeped you out as a kid that aren't supposed to be scary, but just freaked you out as a kid? Radio Phil said that Noddy, the toy box Noddy, the TV show, used to freak him out as a kid. I agree. That used to freak me out as well as HR Puffin stuff. That used to give me so many creepies. That's not even a sentence. That used to give me the creeps. Probably a better sentence. And I don't know what it was about HR Puffin stuff, but it had the witch, Witchy Poo, had the witch. And I said last week that The Wizard of Oz, Wicked Witch of the West, creeped me out as a kid as well. So I think witches just scared me so much, particularly pointy-nosed hag kind of witches as they appear in a lot of pop culture. A lot of Simpsons moments used to freak me out as a kid as well. Particularly something that always unsettled me as a kid was when characters talked in voices that weren't theirs, which I can only think of one example of, but it was when it's in one of the Treehouse of Horrors where Maggie grows the alien legs and starts speaking with like one of the Kang and Kodos voices, that creeped me out so much as a kid. And I really don't know why, but it just creeped me out because like it unsettled me that Maggie was talking with a male voice, but she was a baby, I guess. That freaked me out so much. And the other thing that freaked me out was Professor Quirrell in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, the movie, when he unwraps the turban and Voldemort is on the back of his head, creeped me out so much. Nightmares. I just, like, my brain just freaked out over all of that. Could not handle it. Could not fathom it. Creeped the hell out of me. Still let me know. I'm really interested. Here is a list of all the horror movies that I have on my list of movies to watch at the moment. I watched The Conjuring, but then I've got Return of the Living Dead, which was recommended by Radio Mel. Welcome to the Radio Family, Radio Mel. Thank you for your contributions. The Woman in Black, It Follows, A Quiet Place, which I've never seen. Color Out of Space, which is supposed to be like a H.P. Lovecraft-inspired film. Insidious, The Descent, Drag Me to Hell, Annabelle, The Nun, Evil Dead, Dawn of the Dead, The Amityville Horror, Videodrome, The Exorcist, Wreck, The Omen, Rosemary's Baby, The Thing, Silence of the Lambs, 28 Days Later, and The Fly. They are all movies that I'm really, really keen to watch very, very soon. Please continue to recommend good horror or scary movies because it is absolutely my favorite. I caused a bit of a stir online this week, unintentionally, when I put out my thoughts on the burger chain Grilled. Grilled obviously promote themselves as healthy burgers. My point last week was that one, I don't think Grilled burgers are very healthy, and two, I think Grilled burgers taste like shit. I'm sorry, I put it out there, and Pat, radio superstar Pat, who puts together all of the little clips and TikToks that you see, he cut the Grilled thing into a TikTok, and boy oh boy did it go off. It's now one of the most viral things I've ever done, you know, in the hundreds of K views. Obviously for some people that's really low, but for me that's very big, so I'm very happy about it. You guys, a lot of listeners of the show were, well, generally I will say the response to my Grill rant and me saying that I hate Grilled, very mixed. Radio Whitey, welcome to the RF. I have never had a Grilled burger I didn't enjoy, and I love the chips, and I prefer pitting charities against each other than no donation to charity at all. Okay, one of the things I will say, I talked about the chips having rosemary on it, which I believe I called some weird herb in the thing, which a lot of people call me out on it. The chips taste disgusting. The pitting of charities against each other I still think is crazy. I don't like it. Radio Christina with a K. Completely disagree with your Grilled grilling. I like that, the Grilled grilling. I've got it written down on the run sheet as the Grilled dilemma, aka the grillemma, but I think I prefer the Grilled grilling. I enjoy Grilled and I'm sad because I loved a number of the one-off burgers but have my regular burgers I get. Also, the charity thing is probably one of the only places where they'll be regularly donating to charity chosen by consumers and you don't even need to put in the vote. So I don't understand the hate towards that at all. It's such a simple thing to do and it's for the better of the surrounding community. Oh, and the herbs on the chips are great, so you're wrong. Sorry about that. On the other hand, on Team Mikey... Also, I will get to all these points, Christina. Team Mikey, Reese Cassidy. Welcome to the Radio Family, Radio Reese. He said, healthy. Grilled simplest burger has more calories than a Big Mac. And why do the burgers drip so much? Agreed. Very, very disappointing in general, Reese. Now, the TikTok, the grillemma, the Grilled grilling, caused a stir on TikTok. And may I just say... that anyone who uses, all the people who use TikTok, I'm just getting it up on my phone, all the people who use TikTok just seem to be the most horrible people. Anyone who comments on TikTok, it is a cesspool of abuse and insults. My self-esteem was so, so damaged over the past week with this. Look, lots of people on both sides of the fence. Radio AB. Welcome to the Radio Family. She commented, I cannot believe how connected I am with this. Thank you. And if I go through these comments, like I could go through all of these comments. And here's what I'll say. The main comment I want to talk about is from Grilled Burgers, the official TikTok account of Grilled. Commented on, they commented on my post, and thank you for getting in touch, Grilled. I would say I'd be happy to accept some free burgers, but I probably wouldn't like them. I do want to say that I have no disrespect to Grilled, and a lot of what I was saying was in humor. And I just want to clear that up because it seems like it is very difficult for people to understand that comedy and humor is a thing. People just thought I just, like, I will go to Grilled and have a burger. I was amplifying my stance and exaggerating a fair bit. I don't love Grilled. I will eat their burgers. They're okay. Grilled burgers, that's it. We're telling the Herb Salt about this, and it will not be happy. P.S. We donate to all three charities in every restaurant every month. We're practically Nurse Joy, a Pokemon reference, so clearly the Grilled Burgers person knows who I am, from Hamish and Andy, I assume. I commented back, love your Grilled Burgers, to which they like. So it seems like Grilled understands that this is all in a little bit of jest. Not everyone's going to like every burger chain. Some people are going to prefer Macca's. Some people will prefer Schnitz. Some people Grilled. Here's what I just want to say to Grilled. Number one, I never said, a lot of confusion seems to have happened in the TikTok comments section that I think that they don't donate to all the charities, which is incorrect, and I didn't say that. I know that they donate to all three charities, but as I understand it, one of the charities gets more money than the losing two, which is what I meant by pitting the charities against each other. One charity is going to get more money. A lot of people complaining that other fast food places don't have charity, but I don't think there are any that... I can't think of any that don't have them. Like, Macca's has them, KFC has them, Hungry Jack... Like, they all have philanthropic endeavors. And I guess, like, all the people saying, donating to charity is a bad thing. No, donating to charity is not a bad thing. I think it's an uncomfortable thing to have three charities or three initiatives, community initiatives or charities, and each of them are probably equally deserving in money, but you are forcing the consumer to make a decision on who they think the money is most deserving of the money, which I think is a little bit uncomfortable, and I always feel uncomfortable with it, right? And I always go for the one with the least because I feel uncomfortable about making a decision of where my donation goes. I don't think that donating should be a competition. Yes, you donate to all three of the charities, but one of them gets the most money. And I just think that that is a little bit weird. Apologies. That's like, you know, you Grilled, you said you were like Nurse Joy. Nurse Joy doesn't heal one of your Pokemon to full health and just the rest to 50%. Like, either give every charity the same amount of money or just have one charity each month and just give to them. Like, I don't understand why it has to be this weird bottle cap donation thing. But anyway, these are just my thoughts. A lot of abuse, though. A lot of abuse. And and to be fair, lots of people on my side commenting that Grilled doesn't really pay their staff very well, and there has been a lot of issues about that in the past. Whatever. Not really my business. I don't really care. Well, I do care, but I'm not going to get into it here. Lots of people very, very, very angry. But I'm not going to go into their comments talking about how it looks like I eat a lot of burgers or my voice is incredibly annoying and all these very mean personal things that they said about me. Grilled is a fast food chain. They're a public company. I'm allowed to not like Grilled, but you don't have to comment about how bad I am as a person for even trying to speak about the charity thing. No, I do not think that donating to charity is a bad thing. I think Grilled's way of doing it is a weird thing. I don't think it's a bad thing what they're doing. I think it's a weird thing. And yeah, I do think that Grilled is at the bottom of the fast food chain ring for me. And a lot of people put Grilled in like the premium fast food. So you've got like your Macca's, Hungry Jack's, KFC, maybe even Subway. They're like the real, you know, Happy Meal kind of basic fast food chains. Then you've got your premium stuff, which is like Nando's, Aporto, Grilled, Schnitz, and other like premium burger chains in that sense. And I would agree with that. But in the interest of ranking them, Grilled is dead last. And I guess we're talking burgers here. Like, let's rank them in terms of burgers. I think in terms of burgers, my favorite burger of all of those, like, I think I'd always like a McDonald's burger. KFC, I think, is my favorite overall. The chicken is amazing. any KFC chicken, especially popcorn chicken, amazing. But a McDonald's, like a quarter pounder or a Big Mac, absolutely amazing. Hungry Jack's, I don't have very much at all. I think I've only had it like four times in my life, purely because there's just, I never was around any Hungry Jack's growing up, but I think it's very similar to McDonald's. I love a Porto. I love the Prego sauce in a Porto, but I usually get wraps from a Porto, but they also have popcorn chicken, kind of spicy chicken balls that are amazing too. And then from there, sort of schnitz and grilled, you're not doing enough different to me. Like schnitz is fine. The chips at schnitz are great, but generally speaking, you're not separating yourself enough. Chips wise is even harder. I think the KFC chips are probably my favorite in that domain as well. I think KFC is my favorite fast food just because of the chicken. The chips is really good as well. But yeah, McDonald's I think is the best in terms of convenience, price, diversity of menu and choice. You know, you can't go wrong. If you want a dessert, you want a shake, you want some chicken nuggets, you want a chicken burger, a beef burger, a bigger beef burger, you've got everything really there. You can get a coffee there. KFC, not doing desserts, not open 24/7. I saw on Luke Kidgel's podcast, one of my mates, Luke Kidgel, he was talking about why KFC isn't open 24/7. They usually close, at least the one near me closes at like 11 p.m. most nights. And I tend to agree with that. Why aren't they open all night? Because like McDonald's hungover or like drunk purchases, drunk 2 a.m. cheeseburger meals from McDonald's are a staple of the night out, at least in Melbourne. It's a staple, right? But if I could do a 2 a.m. popcorn chicken and chips or a slider or something like that, absolutely, I would be doing that. Absolutely, with no doubt in my mind. Okay, so KFC is 24 hours, totally endorse and support that. But yeah, overall, grilled, you're just not that nice. You're trying to be fancy. I don't want that. Please don't invite me to eat with you at grilled. I will go, I will eat, but I will not enjoy it, but I will not tell you that to your face. I just want to say if I've ever been to grilled with you, I didn't enjoy the food, but I pretended I did. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, but just quickly, we do have to talk about, I'm not sure what happened here, but I believe the term is shadow banning because I think I was shadow banned off TikTok. Me and Pat both think that I was shadow banned off TikTok after the grillemma, after the grilled grilling. I'm not sure why, but we posted another TikTok later that week and after like hours it had zero views and Pat couldn't even see it on his TikTok, which was really weird. So it seems like because I was a big guy, speaking out against this big fast food giant grilled, maybe they reported me. Maybe they wanted to take it down because they didn't like the slander, right? But it was all opinion based. But yeah, my TikTok is shadow banned at the moment. I might try and post another one this week and see what happens, but wow, I'm causing a lot of issues with my cutting edge commentary on fast food on this podcast. Guys, couple more things. I said last week I had a music-based thing I wanted to do, and yes, I do. I want to do it now. Because last week or a few weeks ago, I rediscovered a musical artist that I genuinely think is one of the best artists and most forgotten artists of all time. This guy had one of the best songs ever written back in like maybe 2010. One of the best songs ever written, maybe earlier than 2010, maybe like 2007. I can't remember. I should check. Does anyone here remember Sean Kingston? What is Sean Kingston doing these days? What is he doing? Where is he? What's he up to? If you don't remember Sean Kingston, his most well-known song, and this is not the song I think is the best, but his most well-known song, I believe, would be a song that is called Beautiful Girls. And I think he might be Jamaican. And he's a hip-hop sort of R&B kind of artist. Beautiful Girls is the song that's like, you're way too beautiful, girl. That's why it'll never work. You'll have me suicidal when they say it's over. That song, great song. But after Beautiful Girls, Sean Kingston just came in with an absolute banger that I forgot existed until about 2 weeks ago. And now I'm listening to it on repeat. I do think it should be, at least for the rest of the year, the official song, the official anthem of this podcast. And the song is called Me Love.
Oh, why'd you have to go away from home? Me Love.
So I don't know why I think this song is so good, but it's just like, it's just everything about this song, to the point that the song is just called me love, and it's just like, why'd you have to go away from home, I think it is, me love. I just like the me love.
Why'd you have to go away from home, me love.
I love this song, me love. But, and let's just hear, oh, even that, catchy as melody. I love this song so much. Let me know if you remember it. But, man, the breakdown, the bridge kind of breakdown of this song happens halfway through, like in most songs, is just some of the most inspired lyricism I have ever heard in any song. You know, like Freddie Mercury in like the 70s was asking, is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? But Sean Kingston in the 2010s was coming up with stuff as amazing, deep, and complex as this. Why you leave me? Why you leave me? Hey, baby, tell me, baby, tell me. Yeah, why you leave me? Why you leave me? Why you leave me? Hey. I just, like, just going from this.
Why'd you have to go away from home, me love?
To this. Why you leave me? Why you leave me? And if you're watching the video version, I'm doing like a sexy dance. This is how I would dance this song.
Why you leave me? Why you leave me?
One more time, because it's just, I need you guys, like, again, I just want you guys to process the genius of this song. We are going from this.
Why'd you have to go away from home, me love?
To this.
Why you leave me? Why you leave me? Hey, baby, tell me, baby, tell me. Yeah. Why you leave me? Why you leave me? Why you leave me?
I love the why you leave me? Why you leave me? Baby, tell me. Like, it's just this, it's a heart-wrenching song about a man who is losing his partner, who I guess she's breaking up with him, and he's saying to her, why are you leaving me? Baby, tell me. But he's doing it in song form.
Why you leave me? Why you leave me? Hey, baby, tell me. Baby, tell me. Yeah. Why you leave me? Why you leave me? Why?
And it's almost like at this point here, sorry if it's too loud, I might be, yeah. At this point here, it's like, because he starts with, why you leave me? Why you leave me? Baby, tell me. Baby, tell me. Why you leave me? Why you leave me? And then it's like, it's almost like there you think it's going to go to something else. Like, he's going to say something else. It's like, you know, why you leave me? Why you leave me? Baby, tell me. Baby, tell me. Why you leave me? Why you leave me? And then he just, in the most genius curveball of all time, he just says again, why you leave me?
Why you leave me? Why
it's so good. I'm dancing. Hey, gotta check out the video version for this one.
Why you leave me? Why you leave me? Why you leave me?
Hey. And then I love this song.
Why'd you have to go?
I love that bit. The why'd you have to? And then it's like a leap. Why'd you have to go? Back down. Why'd you have to go away from home, me love? I'm not even joking. I think this is an amazing song. I mean,
why you leave me?
I won't play it again. I will. So yeah, Sean Kingston, what happened to you? Can anyone just give me a little, if you want a bit of homework this week, it'd be great if you could just give me a lowdown on what Sean Kingston is up to these days. And, you know,
Why'd you?
Okay, I'm not going to play it again, but I love this song so much. Me Love by Sean Kingston is the song. Guys, we're nearly done here, but I've got two more things I want to talk about. First of all, Chicken Episode 2.5. Welcome to the radio family. It's Chicken Episode 2.0, by the way, not Chicken Episode 2.5. I don't know why I say 2.5. Maybe, I don't know. If you listen to the show, I walked past a store, a chicken shop in Kensington. On the sign was the second best chicken in Kensington, which I thought was hilarious. We called them on the show. They explained it to us that they want to be, that they're the second best chicken in Kensington, right? Pat made a reel out of that for Instagram, and I tagged Chicken Episode Instagram account in the reel, and they got in touch with me. Here's what they said. Thanks for your post, Mike. Glad you noticed. The second best motto is shared through all of our stores, and get this, I love this. This is a way of portraying that as we are not the best, we will always be trying to become the best. Right? And I just think, see, most companies, most Hungry Jack's, let's go back to fast food, Hungry Jack's, saying, their slogan is, the burgers are better at Hungry Jack's. It's a definitive statement. For them, there's no room for improvement. The burgers are better there. They're not saying, you know, if Chicken Episode was in charge of Hungry Jack's, maybe the slogan would be, similar burgers to McDonald's, maybe not exactly the same, but very similar. Right? That's what it would be. Because Chicken Episode does want honest mottos. Honest company mottos. They're saying, hey, we're not the best chicken. We're not. Look, we are not the best chicken, but we're the second best, and we're always striving to be better. These people who are the best, they know they're the best. They're not striving to do any better, whereas we're always thinking about being better. I said to them, I'm planning on bringing a bunch of my podcast listeners to the Kensington store soon for a dinner. To which they replied, I actually just saw this, I didn't realize they had replied. That is great news. Let us know when, and we will make sure you are welcomed properly. FYI, we also have a new store with a large party area in Docklands. Feel free to contact us if you require a party space. But I think we will be doing Kensington, as that was the OG chicken episode that I fell in love with. So, you know how I feel about that? You know how I feel about that? No, that song doesn't have context in that situation, but, you know, it's a great song. But, yeah, so Chicken Episode, I think restrictions are largely lifted in Melbourne now, so we will hopefully be doing some kind of Chicken Episode here in Melbourne soon. So if you're in Melbourne, please come along. I'll let you know the dates when I know, and I'll try and get in touch with them, and maybe they can organize something special for us. But that's really awesome. Finally, I've got one more thing I want to talk about, and I appreciate that, you know, generally speaking, the Radio Mike content catalog, which spans, you know, a bunch of different platforms and types of content. But generally speaking, it's more or less family friendly. But this little rave here, you might want to have kids out of the car. I assume most people listening to this aren't parents, but you know, this is a sexual content warning, because I've noticed something very interesting, which is that there seems to be a discrepancy in the way that we view male and female sex toys. I've just noticed this more and more, because it has occurred to me in the last year or so. I don't know when this became a trend, nor do I have a problem with it being a trend, which I want to stress. It has occurred to me that It is very, very socially acceptable. Again, this is not an issue. I'm not making this an issue. I think it's fine. I think it's great. It's very socially acceptable for a woman to have a vibrator. Ponder that for a moment. It is very socially acceptable for a woman to have a vibrator. You see a lot of influencers these days posting advertising for vibrator companies, sex, kind of various sexual devices used to enhance pleasure. A lot of female influencers doing that, you know, on Instagram, which, you know, I guess Instagram censors a lot of content. It censors nudity and a lot of sexual-based content. So it's always kind of, I guess I just feel jarring to see, oh, hey, this is my bloody vibrator and this is how I bloody get myself off in the shower. It's great. Awesome. Awesome for the ladies. But what I've noticed is you don't really get that on the other side, right? Like, you don't see many guys doing sponsorships for like a fleshlight and posting on Instagram, here's my fleshlight. When I can't be with the missus, I give myself a bloody tug in this. It's the best and it's so cheap. Use discount code BIGDICK to get 10% off your purchase in the link in my bio. Like, doesn't happen. And I'm curious as to where this emerges from. Like, why is it suddenly like fine for like people to just have photos of them with their vibrators on Instagram? Again, it's not an issue. I'm not making it an issue. I don't think it's an issue. I think it's funny. I think it's very funny because I'm just like, oh, I don't remember that ever being a thing. And it does seem like there's a much more openness towards that in women than there is to men. And like, I would love to see a man do like a sponsorship for a fleshlight in the same way women do influencer sponsorships for their Lush vibrators or whatever. It's like, yeah, this is my fleshlight. It's so good and has so many different settings on it. It just feels so good on my dick. You should use it too. I think that's... because that's essentially what influencers are doing with these vibrators. Wow, it has 3 vibration settings. I use it in the shower because it's completely waterproof. And when I'm done, you just need to give it a small rinse and it's clean and ready for next time. Use code WET in the checkout for 10% off. Thanks for following me. Sponsored, hashtag ad. It's so funny. I see it so regularly now and I just find it so funny. So I just wanted to talk about that. Let's do this.
The plug.
Give me your thoughts on that, by the way. Plug wise. Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project is still going and I pop in on that. Laughing in the background a bit. So check those out. And the main H&A pod, I should be on an episode coming up, I believe. But I'm not sure which one. Harry Potter and the Boys is my other podcast. Please go and check that out. This week's guest, it will be out tomorrow on the day you're listening to this, is with Dave Ferrier, a published New York Times cartoonist based in Australia, who also drew the artwork for that podcast. He was the artist behind that. He will be popping on. Please go and listen to that. Dave is a great old mate of mine that I used to work in radio with, so I would love for you to check it out. My YouTube channel, we're up to 1,200 subs now, which is awesome. Bunch of pop culture content going out there. I will be doing a review of the Pixar film Luca, as I already said, and I'll probably be talking a bit more about Ratchet & Clank if you were into that kind of thing. Again, there is a Harry Potter and the Boys YouTube channel. I'll put a link in the description. Please subscribe to that. Just if you you can binge, it's up to date now, so you can binge the whole series. And finally, there's also a YouTube clips channel for this podcast. So you can see little bits and pieces on YouTube. So please go and subscribe to that. I'll put a link in the description as well. I think that's more or less it. The TikTok, go and follow it because we've been shadow banned. Radio.mike on Insta and radiomikepod@gmail.com if you want to email the show. Or 1-800-438-353.
If you've got a contribution to the podcast, there's only one number you see. Go 1-800-438-353.
That's the phone number to call the show. Call anytime. We would love to have you. And I think that's pretty much it. So thank you so much for listening this week. My name has been Radio Mike. This podcast has been The Inside On Mine. Don't block the MDF. I'm a very kind young man. Some of your older staff could learn a lot from me. And don't lie to me because I'll see you. If you want to get all these jokes, listen to other episodes of the podcast and binge it. William Kennedy, finish your farm project. And I'm going to sing a song. It goes like this. Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye. Goodbye, now it's time to go. But hey, okay, well that's okay, because Mikey will be back next week, I know. See you later. Bye-bye. This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content. Stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram and get in touch, radiomikepod@gmail.com.